Somebody clap those hands like he's been good to you. Clap those hands like he woke you up this morning. Started you on your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, the Bible, it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, now shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Is there any victorious people in the house? Yes. Would the redeemed of the Lord say so here today? This is the day that the Lord hath made. We might as well rejoice and be glad in it. How many is glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time? One more time. Hallelujah. The brother read the scripture earlier and it said, let everything that hath breath. It didn't say whether you was having a good day or a bad day, or you woke up on the right side or the wrong side of the bed. It just said, let everything that hath breath. So last time I checked, everybody was breathing in here. So that means everybody should be praising. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many came in here to give God your best praise here today? Hallelujah. Feels good in the house of the Lord. Feels good, and I am just so glad to be back in Nacogdoches, Texas here. And man, y'all in Texas, y'all like to have church, so I like to have church. Man, we're just so glad to be back here again. And I just want to thank Pastor Crosswhite once again. Thank you so much for his hospitality, extending an invitation again to us. And so we're just so glad to be here. And I just want to know how many love you, Pastor. How many love the man of God in this place? The man that stands in the gap and makes up the hedge for you. Yes. Come on. Thank God for your man of God. Celebrate. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't take your man of God for granted, church. I said, don't take him for granted. You thank God every day at the man of God that God has placed in this place and placed in your life. And his only concern, his main concern, is to make sure you make heaven your home. Yes, yes. And we cannot say enough about the man of God without celebrating First Lady. I think she just slipped out, but we're still going even in her absence. Can we just thank God for the First Lady in this place? Thank God for her hospitality. We thank you. Thank her. Thank everybody for having something to do with us getting here. The basket, everything has just been so wonderful. Wonderful again. Like I said, we just couldn't wait to get back here. We had this on the schedule. And we saw them dates coming, and we said, man, we can't wait to get back to Nacogdoches, and they like to have church down there. So everything is so wonderful. Would you go with me in your Bibles, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and I do feel a word on my heart for somebody in this house. And I just feel like God wants to remind us of some things and just wants to help us here this morning. Luke chapter 15. Very familiar verses of scripture to many of us. No doubt, if you've been in church any length of time, through church, by the church doors, you have heard of the prodigal son. And here, we're going to talk about that here just a little bit. Luke chapter 15, we're going to jump in the middle of a story here, jumping off here at verse 17. The word of the Lord says, Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, and it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. This is verse 20. I want us to pay attention here, but it says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And I'm going to launch off here from verse 20. And it says again, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And I'm going to launch off there, right there. I'm going to use this as my topic here this morning. When mercy comes running. When mercy comes running. Yeah, because in that verse right there, verse 20, the father had no business running to the son. I said the father had no business running. But guess what? His love for his son said, hey, wait a minute. I've been waiting on this day. I still love him. And I came to tell somebody here today, God still loves you. I said, God still loves you. He still cares about you. Come on. How many thank God for mercy here in this place? Would you lift your hands toward heaven right now? Spirit of a living God, fall fresh on us here this morning. God would ask you now, throw your weight around in this place. Heal, save, and deliver. Set free. Break the bondage of sin. Destroy yokes of addictions off of your people here today. God will be so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And with the church say, amen. Would you say amen once again? Can we give the Lord one more thunderous applause of praise all over this place? Come on, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feel the Holy Ghost in this place. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to start by just giving us a little background here. When we hear about mercy, some of the first recordings of mercy, the word mercy comes up in Exodus, where God is telling Moses how to build an ark of the covenant, build a sacred, this sacred box, overlay it with gold. But he says in the middle of the cherubs that are going to have their wings touching, he said in the middle of that, he said, put a mercy seat above the ark. In Exodus 25 and 21, says, the ark shall be put the testimony that I shall give thee. And it says in there, verse 22, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubs which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things, and I will give thee a commandment unto the children of Israel. Here where God said, hey, here's where my presence is going to reside, in the holies of holies. He said, hey, it's a mercy seat, and there, here's where I'm going to dwell. And in Leviticus 16 and 2, here it is. This is where the order of God that we put in. And he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, and he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. And there it is. He's telling, we could keep on reading there in that chapter, and he's telling us about the blood and how God wants to do things. And he said, hey, you come in here when I, just one time a year, you just come in here. You can't just come in here any old time, because this is where the mercy of God, he dwells here. But here, this is the old covenant. And now, we don't have to go to mercy. But now, today, we're not going to the holies of holies now. The priest is not the only one that can go in. Now, mercy comes to us. And I thank God for that. That I don't have to go in, and we don't have to sprinkle blood on certain parts in a very grotesque ceremony. But now mercy runs about in the streets. Mercy runs about everywhere. Yes, yes.
Got a little ahead of myself here. And this is why when Jesus was on the cross and in the temple, it says when he gave up the ghost and then the curtain rent from top to bottom. Yeah, that was that holies of holies. That's where that mercy seat was. That's where that mercy and the priest had to go into the mercy. And then now he rent that curtain rent. And now God said, hey, you don't have to come. Now mercy can go out on the streets and go and rescue everybody. And that's what today mercy is running around in the streets. Mercy is running around trying to get somebody's attention to say, hey, take heed of mercy. Mercy runs about in the streets here. I want to read this in our hearing. Here. Proverbs 3:3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Says, I want us to pay attention here because mercy runs about in the streets. But there is also something else that runs about in the streets. But runs, just walks a little slowly. Walks a little slower than mercy. It's an old man, if I can speak metaphorically here, said it's an old man by the name Judgment. But it's a young man that runs out in the street called Mercy. And if you don't take heed to that young man that's running about in the streets called Mercy, there's an old man that doesn't run as fast. He doesn't run as strong, but his steps are still sure. His steps are slow. And that man is named Judgment. And here it is. If you don't take heed to mercy, guess what's behind it? Judgment's behind him. And I hear it. Can somebody take advantage of mercy here today? And say, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to take advantage. I'll repent of my sins. I'll be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not going to wait till God has to get me in a car accident before I have to call on his name. Can somebody take advantage of mercy?
Here's the thing. People say, man, I'm not crazy about that church thing. Not too crazy about it. I'm gonna come to God when I'm ready. Funny thing is, all of a sudden, when it's funeral time, everybody gets real religious. Everybody gets real religious. And everybody wants to talk about heaven. Everybody wants to talk about a better place. But when you was living, you didn't want to take heed of the voice of the Lord. But here it is today. Hear me, somebody. Hear me. Don't you say, oh, another day. But no, today is the day. I said, today is the day. Today is the day to make up your mind. Today is the day to say, hey, I'm going all in on God. I'm going to take advantage of everything God has. Today is the day. Church family, let me remind you here, we are living in the last of the last days. This is not the time to teeter-totter on the fence. This is not the day to teeter-totter. This is not the time to say, hey, I'm going to have one foot in the church and what in the world? I'm going to, man, hey, this is just my Sunday thing. No, this ain't just a Sunday thing. This is a Monday thing. This is a Tuesday thing. Yeah, I live for God for real. I said I live for God for real because the fact of the matter is you love when God answers your prayer in the middle of a night. Yeah, that shouldn't be the only time he hears you. When you need a test to be negative or you need a bill to be paid, that's not the only time God should hear from you. But you ought to seek him early. You ought to seek him in the noonday. You ought to seek him in the evening time. It is the thing. One of the scriptures that we hear the most, the nominal world here, I feel like I'm going to hit this. Didn't know if I was going to say this or not, but I feel it in my heart. Here it is. 2 Chronicles 7:11.
7:11, it says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all came into Solomon's heart to be made in the house of the Lord and in his own house. He prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people. And here's that verse we commonly hear here. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I'm going to pause right here, because a lot of us want to run over this part right here. We want to run over the part where we have to add some commitment to the picture. Oh, I came to preach here this morning. He said, hey, we want to rush over this part, because we want to get to the part, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. But we can't run over before we ask God to heal. Guess what we got to do? We got to pray and we got to seek, and yeah, we got to turn. We got to turn from our wicked ways before God blesses, before God heals. We got to do our part first, church. We come down to an altar that God would alter our lives. That's why I go to an altar. I don't take my clothes to an alteration shop to go back and pick them up and they're the same way. I need God to change my life. I said, I need God to work on my life. I need God to chip away at some pride, chip away at some evil, chip away at some things, because I want to make heaven my home. People want to come to church, say, I came to God as I am. Here's the thing. You can come to God as you are, but you won't stay as you are. Because when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, guess what? There's a change that starts to happen. When fire hits things, guess what? There will be signs. When the Holy Ghost hits a person, there will be signs. Places I don't go no more. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Things I used to say, I don't say no more. We've got to turn. We've got to pray, and we've got to seek, and then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. See, you got to do something first. You got to repent of your sins. That's how we take advantage of mercy. We got to repent of our sins, die out to that old man, and say, I'm not going that way no more. I'm not doing that no more. I'm not going. I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name. But let a man put you down in water and put the name of Jesus over your life, and let God fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Yes. Here, don't want to go too long here this morning. Get to talking about this prodigal son. Many of us know this story. Heard it in Sunday school all our lives. Heard it many, many times. This prodigal son comes to his dad and says, hey, give me what you owe me. Give me what I deserve. Give me what's due to me. Church family, we ought to be careful when we get an attitude of entitlement. We get an attitude of, man, God, give me what I deserve. You better never pray that, because guess what? We deserve the goodness of God. You ought to thank God every day when you walk into the house of God. You better thank God every day when you wake up. I thank God for God's mercy. I thank God for God's grace. I don't want to take advantage of your presence. This is not commonplace. But every time I walk in, I want to say, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty. A commonplace. We can start to treat things as common And I do this all the time. This is commonplace. But no, this is the presence of God. This is the gate of heaven. I get to feel, hey, I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I get to have God's blessings on my life. That son, as the old church likes to say, start to smell himself. Say, hey, give me what's mine. I'm going to go off. I'm going to do my own thing. Uh-huh. Church family, we've all been the prodigal one way or another. I said, we all been the prodigal one way or another. You might not have left physically, but you've left mentally, left spiritually. Yeah. Don't think, oh man, because he didn't name my pet sin, I'm good. Uh-huh. Since he didn't name my sin, yeah, we all struggle with something. And that's why we got to constantly stay on the altar. Because we all have to deal with this thing called flesh. Here it is. This man, this boy said, hey, give me what's mine. The Bible says he goes off to a far country. Goes off to a far country. Hey, distance from the Father is always dangerous. Uh-huh. I said distance from the Father is always dangerous. Uh-huh. That's why I want to get as close to God's presence as I can get. Every opportunity, those doors are open. Every time I get an opportunity to pray and seek God's face, I'm going to take advantage of it. Every opportunity. Because distance from the Father is always dangerous. Church family, I don't want to have to schedule around church, my walk with God. I don't schedule around that stuff. That stuff is the schedule. That comes first. Then everything else is secondary. Uh-huh. Let me say that again, church. We don't schedule. Oh man, I gotta. Let me see where God fits in my schedule. Let me see where God fits in. No. We put that first. We put God first. We put church. We put the things of God first. Then everything else becomes secondary. Then we seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added unto you. Yeah, when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, they put the tabernacle in the middle of the camp. And everybody else, guess what they did? You set your door of the tent towards the tabernacle. From the very beginning, God said, hey, you better put me first. You put me in the focus of your life. You put me first. I don't take second place to nobody. Well, I know Ten Commandments that put no other gods before me. Because you start to do that, and guess what happens? You'll start to drift. Drift. People of God, they strayed away from God. What's the first thing they do? Put up other gods. They said, we'll take down the one, we'll put up Baal. We'll put up all these other gods. Jezebel comes in, said, hey, we'll make it be. We'll just put them up against each other. We'll just make it easy for you. You can choose. No, God said, hey, I reign supreme in your life. I don't want to be second place. I'm not going to be second place to nobody. Amen. Prodigal son says he goes to a far country. Nobody knows him. Nobody says, all of a sudden he had many friends. Many friends. Life was good. Life is real good. Uh-huh. There's pleasure in sin for a season. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Young people, hear me. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Uh-huh. But then the consequences are going to come up. Uh-huh. You can live life any old way, but you're going to have to pay the consequences. Mm-hmm. Living for God is the best life. I said, living for God is the best life. Living for God is the best thing that ever happened to you. I'm going to say this. I said this before, but it bears re-mentioning. Shortcuts don't always get you there faster. Right. I said shortcuts don't always get you there faster. Right. Yeah. They can take some life, take some turns. It can send you down a winding road that you didn't plan on going down. So don't you take a day, don't you just say, oh, I'm just going to take a little break a little bit and then I'll be right back. Don't you step out of the city of refuge for too long, prodigal son. Don't you step out too long and think you can come back any old time, because I'm telling you here, sin will cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. Sin will keep you a whole lot more the longer than you are intending on staying. But can anybody hear me today and say, I'm going to make up my mind. Hey, I'm going all in on God. I'm not going to try to short you, but no, I'm going to be serious about this. I'm going all in. I'm going to be a real apostolic. I'm going to be a real one. He says, prodigal son has many friends as he has all this money. Fame has everything. He says, I'm good. He says, look, Ma, no hands. I'm doing good. Doing good. All of a sudden, as life goes, life takes a turn. All of a sudden, money runs out. And all of a sudden, the friends are gone. All of a sudden, things are, wait a minute. I didn't plan on this. Hey, listen to me. Life be lifing. Life do be lifing. But here's the thing. God knows how to get your attention. I said, God knows how to get your attention. And you better thank God. God knows how to get your attention. Because that's mercy. That's his grace dealing with you. And I got to tell somebody, that's how you made it in here this morning. Because grace and mercy, God is telling you, I still love you. I'm still going to let you come in. I still got something for you to do. I'm not done with you yet. That's why I know God's still working with you. That's why I know God still loves you. Because look where you are. Look where you're at. After everything the devil has thrown your way, the devil is still a liar. I said the devil is still a liar. God does still love you. He says, hey, finds himself in a pig pen. Finds himself all alone. Finds himself, wait a minute now, I had it better in daddy's house than I do have it out here. Right. And that's the trick of the enemy, to say living without God is better than living with God. Yeah. Devil's a liar, church. Yes. He's a liar. I don't ever want to live without God in my life. I don't ever want to live without God and not feeling his presence, feeling as close to him as I can get, and feeling that emptiness and saying, God, where are you? God, where are you? But the good thing about God, even if you find yourself in that place, God will still step down into your life. God will still be there, even in the middle of the night, even when it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the wall. God will still listen and say, my child, it's time for you to come home. It's time for you. I still got something for you to do. That's mercy. Not going much longer here. It is. The Bible records this. He says, and when he came to himself, here in this whole Luke chapter 15 deals with lost items. So lost sheep, a lost coin, and then ultimately a lost son. Lost sheep, he goes out, leaves the 99, and goes and finds the one. Then the coin, lady sweeps the house. It was lost. The coin was lost inside the house. Lost inside the house. But she says, I've got to clean up. I've got to clean up. I've got to sweep. I've got to find that coin. And what this chapter is telling us, that God still cares about lost things. He still cares about lost things. It doesn't matter what's going on. God still can find you. God can still find you. He still knows exactly where you're at because he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to let you know, this is how much I love you. Amen. And I'll go to the deepest and darkest time in your life and say, hey, here, I'm still here in your life. So when he came to himself in that pig pen, he says, hey, my servants have it better. Servants have it better than I have it right here, right now. Let me go back. Let me go back. And I don't even want to be a son no more. I just want to be a hired servant. And here's where I come to preach to somebody. It doesn't matter how bad it is. You're still a son of God. You're still a daughter of God. You're not second place. You're not second rate. I don't care how bruised you are. I don't care how battered you are. God is saying, hey, no, I still died for you. I still spilled my blood for you. You're not second place. Come on, put out that self-doubt in your mind to say, I can't do this. I messed up too many times. But no, the devil is a liar. God has come to tell somebody, you're not second place. You're not damaged goods. And here's, sister, you can start playing. Somebody can come to music. Because before I even go any further, I'm going to tell you, you get that out your mind. You get that out your mind, right? Yeah, I'm going to go back to daddy's house. But guess what? You're going to come back just as a son of God. Just as a daughter of God. You're going to come back right there because God has said, hey, I still spit my blood for you. Yes, you can live for God. I said, yes, you can live for God. Yes, you can live this way. Yes, you can live above sin. Here it is. He says, if I go back, just want to be a hired servant. Just want to be a hired servant. He said he goes back. This is what I love about this passage. We read over this stuff so fast, so many times. I love this because it says, when he saw him afar off. When daddy saw his son afar off. I'm talking about mercy. When mercy comes a-running. When mercy comes running. He said, when it afar off. He said, hey, wait a minute. That's my son. That's my son. He's way out there. He hasn't even made it all the way back to the house. But guess what? Daddy says, hey, that's my son. I'm going to run after my son because I still love him. Even though he's ran, even though he's been away from the house from so long, but God is trying to tell somebody, he saw you afar off and he's running towards you here this morning. He's running towards you. And he wants to see you saved. He wants to see you prosper. He wants to see you blessed. He's not out for revenge. He's not out to, hey, I'm going to give you what you really know. That's where grace comes in. That's where grace comes in. Say, I know you deserve something else, but I still am going to give you the best. So glad God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. So glad He has a provision and a grace and mercy to say, hey, I became the ultimate sacrifice. I became the sinless lamb. I became that. That's why I went to Calvary. That's why I spilt my blood. Here's the fact of the matter is why he ran. This is why daddy ran. Because in that day, they had a Jewish tradition called Kazaza. And Kazaza meant when that son, daughter would leave his people, they would have, when they would come back, they would meet him at the gate. They would meet him at the gate. This thing called Kazaza, and they would take these clay pots and they would take it and throw it at their feet and sit there and break these pots to let them resemble what they did to their families. They say, hey, when you left, you broke us. And now we're going to symbolize that to you by breaking and saying, hey, wait a minute. Now what you've done can't be repaired. We've broken that pot. We've broken it. And that's what these elders would normally do when a son would return, when a child would return. And that's why that daddy came a running. Because if somebody went out and met them first and brought them in together, the elders didn't have nothing to say. They couldn't say anything. And that's why that daddy said, hey, before everybody else gets to you, I'm going to let you know how much I love you. I'm going to bring you back in here before anybody can break any clay pot in front of you. I said, I still love you. See, the devil wanted to perform kazaz on somebody here this morning. To say, hey, look it. This is what you done. But God is saying, nah, they're still mine. They're still mine. They're still mine. I want us all to stand here. I want us all to stand. Like I said earlier, all of us at some point have been a prodigal. Some point or another found ourselves in a prodigal state. And the devil wanted to celebrate a kazaza moment on us and say, hey, look what you done. Let me remind you of your sin. Let me remind you, this is what you are. Nothing but a broken piece. Nothing but broken pieces. Nothing but scarred. Nothing but scars. Nothing but what's left. What's left of something good. That's what the devil wants. But God is saying, hey, I can take that old man and I can make something new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You stop letting the devil bring up your past mistakes. I said, you stop letting the devil bring up your past mistakes and reminding you this is why you shouldn't worship. You shouldn't lift up your hands. You ain't got nothing to be thankful for. I know what you was doing just a little bit ago, but nah, somebody ought to say, hey, I'm an overcomer. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. I've been overcome by the blood of a lamb. I'm not going to lay around and just try to make the best out of a bad situation. But no, God still has some good things for you. What I want us to do right now, I'm going to open up these altars. And I want us all to gather in as close as we can. I want us all to gather in as close as you can. Come on, everybody, let's gather around these altars. Because as that son comes in to that house, she said that daddy ran, grabbed him, kissed him on the neck, and said, hey, wait a minute. Everybody stop. My son's back home. My son's back home, the one I've been waiting for, the one I've been praying for. Hey, mom and daddy, don't you ever stop praying for lost sons. Don't you ever stop praying for lost relatives. Don't you stop praying, because God is saying, hey, there's still hope. As long as there's still hope, I can still do something with them. Says, hey, my son's back. My son's back. My son's back, and we're gonna rejoice. I know he left. I know he might have done some bad things, but forget that now. He's back home now, and I came to celebrate somebody. Guess what? You made it into the house. You made it into the house of God. You made it in. You made it in. That's why we can celebrate, because you're here. And God is not done with you yet. What I want us to do right now, I want us to lift up holy hands all over this place. Come on, church, I want you to thank God for his mercy. Come on, thank God for his grace. Come on, church. Come on, this is not commonplace. Come on, thank you, God. Thank you for putting up with me. Thank you for bringing me this far. Come on, church. I know we've done this several times before, but come on, think about it. Go back down memory lane. Come on, think about how good God has been. Think about it, think about it. Come on. Are you thankful for the day mercy came towards your heart? Are you thankful for the time mercy came running in your direction? Are you thankful? Mercy, God, let his mercy be everlasting. His mercies are renewed each and every day. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voice all over this place. Lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. Come on.
Where would I be?
Come on, lift your voice.
You only know.
Come on, yes. Somebody ought to celebrate. I'm still in the house.
An empty place.
Devil, after everything you threw, I'm still here. I'm still here. Come on, church family. Thank you. Where would I be? Seen and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. Come on.
Not
for grace.
Amazing grace.
Come on, we'll always be.
How sweet the sound.
Yes, yes, yes.
I once was lost.
Come on, church family, come on. Come on, thank you, Jesus. An empty place.
Can't be an empty place.
If not for grace.
Amazing grace.
Yes. Yes.
How sweet the sound.
I once was
I'd be an empty place if not for grace.
Come on, church family, can we lift those hands all over this place? Come on, put out that self-doubt. Yes, yes, you can. Yes, you can. you're still a son. You've still been bought with a price. Come on, no greater love, no greater love after this.
Hopeless case.
Yes.
I'd be an empty place if not for grace. Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case. I'd be an empty
you sing it with us today.
Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see hopeless of love, a hopeless case, I'd be empty place if not for grace. Where would I be? You'd only know. Of love, a hopeless case, I'd be an empty place if not for. One more time, Sister Kristen, sing it. Where would I be?
I'm glad you see.
Let's believe the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
A hopeless case.
Come on, the grace of God is healing. Mercy of God is here.
If not for grace.
Just play this. Just play it, sister. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of the Lord minister right now with you. Just close your eyes with me. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way. Just ask God to have his way with you. Lord, have your way with me. Have your way in my heart. Have your way in my being, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have your way with me, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way in the Lord Jesus. By your power, by your mercy, God, by your goodness. Have your way with me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have your way, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I give you praise. I give you liberty, Lord. Will you tell the Lord that? Lord, I want you to have the liberty, God. I want you to have liberty in my life. The liberty to my life, God. God, in your name, in your name, in your name, in your name. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Albright, for obeying the Holy Ghost. And I felt so timing today, all the confirmation of what we sang today, all the songs. Everything God began to confirm. Even this man of God obeyed the Holy Ghost this morning, and God has spoken to us. Amen. And we're so thankful for the help of the Lord.